This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie, and we'll be here for the next 3 hours talking Football Friday stuff with you. Woolchuck has his top 10 coming up at 4:20. Inside that segment, I believe Chief is going to try to break his record of chicken wings in a three-minute time frame. Your record's 15, Chief?
Records 15, okay. Set about, what, 6 weeks ago or so?
Yeah.
B-Dubs in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Trying to level up.
You're going at least 16. He's calling his shot, and if you swing on by, you can join us for some fellowship as Nick Harris, Cowboys writer, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joins us now in the Nation. And a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing wonderful. A couple years ago, Brian and I tried to tell people that the only hope the NFC had was if McCaffrey got hurt, okay? We weren't hoping for it, but San Francisco got mad at us nonetheless. We kind of had a point, I think. These guys are a lot more beatable than the last couple of times we saw them. Did the Cowboys have enough to take advantage of it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, you look at how banged up the 49ers are on both sides of the ball, not just to McCaffrey. I mean, I guess unfortunately for the Cowboys' case, the McCaffrey injury really hasn't cost them that much because Jordan Mason has just been running with a purpose. He has the most broken tackles in the league. He has the most yards after contact in the league. He's done a really good job filling in that role so far. But you look at some other holes that they've had, especially in that skill group. Deebo Samuel battling pneumonia this week. George Kittle battling that sprained foot. Brandon Ayuk obviously out for the season. I mean, they're going to have to figure out some things in that skill group. And, you know, looking at it on film, it doesn't look like Brock Purdy is comfortable with any of his weapons just yet as far as pushing the ball downfield. The only guy that I would be scared of more than 15 yards downfield, if I'm looking at it from the Cowboys' perspective, is George Kittle. Other than that, the timing, the rhythm has really been off between Purdy and those skill guys. I think if that continues into Sunday night, then it'll give the defense a little bit of an edge, a defensive group that is still battling injuries in their own right.
Our defense is starting to get a handle on what the Niners are trying to do to them. What do you attribute that to?
Let's say that one more time.
Our defense is figuring out how to kind of slow down Shanahan's offense?
I think it's more so the health. I think it's really that. And you look at what Shanahan has done so well and what these Shanahan offenses have done so well over the course of the last few years. They're still sticking to that bread and butter, and they are still finding success with it. I think it's more so an execution thing with their guys. They haven't had a healthy start to the season. They had a receiver who wasn't at training camp for most of the time in Brandon Ayuk. So they're battling a lot of the similar problems that Dallas has been battling early in the year. And I think it's also just kind of attributed to lack of execution.
Nick Harris here with you, Star-Telegram on 105.3 The Fan. So the Cowboys are not getting healthy, right? I mean, Micah Bland most likely out.
Correct. Those two guys will be out. It looks like Kalen Carson will be able to return and at least fill in that role that Deron Bland has been missing out on through this first portion of the season. But I also wonder if maybe they would toy with the idea of starting Amani Oruwariye over Carson. But I think those would be two options for those guys.
Nick, what was some of the scuttlebutt around the Star this week with the tours and whatnot and that article that came out? I know everybody was asked about it, but what did you find out? Was it more of an eye roll, or what do you think?
Yeah, mostly more of an eye roll, and I guess it kind of depends on who you talk to, too. But even, like, some players that even were like, yeah, sometimes they get in the way, but, like, it's not that big of a deal. That was kind of what the message was throughout the week in the locker room. But whenever you talk to other people around the building, it's just it's business as usual. And once you get in that building, you kind of have a way of getting used to things and a routine of things. Coming from experience, I've had to walk through those tours many a time. And this might be me just kind of theorizing, but it felt like the day after that article came out that there were about double the tours that were there the previous day. So I think they're only just hammering it further home.
No, you're probably right. Jerry alluded to that this morning, that probably helped the tours at the Star as well. Nick, I do want to ask about, like, Dalvin Cook. We didn't get the confirmation from Stephen Jones, but it seems like he's trending to probably go on Sunday. Do you have any idea how the rest of the running back room would look like on game day? Does that mean Deuce Vaughn stays inactive? Does it mean maybe an inactivity for one Ezekiel Elliott even?
Yeah, I think Deuce Vaughn remains inactive regardless. As far as the Ezekiel Elliott question, I think that's certainly a possibility. I haven't talked to anybody who's alluded to that. That hasn't really been a question I've asked as far as, okay, if Dalvin Cook is activated, who's getting pulled away? But you could also look at the fact that John Stevens Jr. can get moved to IR, so that's another roster spot that they will have. Granted, that's not an active game day roster spot, but it'll just allow them a little bit more flexibility this week if they do decide to move on with Cook and activate him for Sunday's game. But I anticipate a couple of roster moves tomorrow that'll give us more clarity in that way.
Nick, Jerry talking about play calling and play design earlier this week. How'd you receive that? Is that a sign maybe he's fed up with Mike, or reading too much into that?
I don't believe so. Those guys are still having weekly meetings, and from Mike's perspective, at least what he's alluded to the media, is that, you know, those meetings are still open and they are still transparent. So I think it's more so a reflection of what they've been talking about in those meetings. And we look at it on the surface. McCarthy is a little bit more guarded with the media than Jerry is. And I think Jerry was just being a little bit more honest than McCarthy has been to the media. You know, McCarthy may be trying not to show that there's too much bad that they saw in the self-evaluation from the first trimester of the season, that he likes to call it. Whereas Jerry, you know, he was a little bit more honest about it, saying there was bad concepts, bad plays. We need to be able to find ways to get these guys more open. I think for me, if you look at it and you're understanding, hey, how can we get CeeDee Lamb open? How can we get Jalen Tolbert open? All these guys, I think they just need to be more physical in their route running. I mean, I've been talking about it on the break with Brian. I mean, this is a receiving core that has to be able to throw their weight around. You know, we talk about CeeDee Lamb adding this weight during the offseason. He said it was extra armor for him. Well, we haven't really seen that show up yet. So I would like to see that extra physicality from CeeDee, whether that be at the line or downfield in route running.
Do you think there's any chance that they missed the playoffs and Mike's back?
Oh, no. I don't believe so. I mean, given how everything shook out in the week after the season ended last year, and how much anticipation there was kind of around Mike's job status at that point, and at that point they went 12-5 and were a number two seed in the playoffs, granted a really bad embarrassment in the first round, but I don't see a reality where he's back if they do not make the playoffs.
Nick, I can give you one fix coming out of the bye. It's either you're going to play really good run defense in this game, or you're going to be better in the red zone on offense. Which way are you going?
I would go run defense on run defense. I think if they can show what they did against New York and part of what they showed against Pittsburgh, if they can keep that going over the course of the last 11 weeks of the season, then you'll eventually be able to find some red zone opportunities that'll cash in. And it's, you do have a kicker who, you know, on his free time serves on a jury, but he's still automatic on the football field. Last time I checked.
Yeah, what's the latest on Brandon Aubrey and the jury duty?
Yeah, actually, just got information on that I'll be posting here shortly. So they will not have to go back into court on Monday for this case. They will have closing arguments on Tuesday. So this means that Brandon Aubrey will be able to land with the team on Monday morning after traveling to San Francisco. He'll be able to participate in meetings and everything on Monday. And then Tuesday is the player's day off, and with it being closing arguments on Tuesday, maybe Tuesday will be the last day that he has to serve on this jury, but we'll find out more next week.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Is there hope for winning next year, Nick?
Yeah, I think so. And you look at the young core of this team. You look at the guys that they have had consistently in the building. I think Dak, CD, Micah, that core right there, and assuming that they do go ahead and pony up and pay Micah here over the offseason, this team still has talent. It still has all-pro talent on both sides. I think overall, this team just needs to get more physical. And whether that starts with, you know, the identity, the culture that's built up front, or whether that's changing things with practice during the week, which they're trying this week. Mike McCarthy said earlier today that it was one of the best practices that he had yesterday with the team. So we'll see if that maybe translates. But overall, I think that's been the bigger problem towards this team finding success over the last couple of seasons. I mean, you look at the 9 losses that they've had over the course of the last 2 seasons. It's tough to find more than maybe 1 or 2 that you could not attribute to the fact of them just not being physical. You think of the Buffalo game last year, the Green Bay game last year, Miami, Arizona, on and on. This year, Baltimore, New Orleans, they just need to be a more physical team. I think they have the talent in place. I think these guys just kind of need to pony up a little bit.
Nick, do you have any expectation that there will be a similar obvious change, particularly offensively post-bye, like there was last year? Do you expect it to all look very similar? Just please, just run the routes better and block better.
Yeah, I think there will be some changes coming out of this bye. I mean, Mike McCarthy spent every day in the office going over self-evaluation stuff, not only with himself and the offensive play calling, but with his offensive personnel. I think Dalvin Cook potentially playing on Sunday is just one layer of what I think will be a multifaceted approach that'll be a little bit different than what we saw before the bye week. And Dak and CD, they were able to get some time in during the bye week as well. So, yeah, I do anticipate a little bit of change. Will it be successful? I don't know. We're going to have to see what that looks like on Sunday night. But overall, I think we're going to see a few things that are a bit different than what we saw in the first six games.
Do you have any updates on Brandon Cooks and what that timeline's looking like?
Yeah, it's looking like he will be ready to go whenever his IR stint is up, which he will have to miss at least through the Atlanta game next week. But it's starting to come along really well over the course of the last week. He was actually on the practice field working with a rehab group earlier this week. I anticipate him being ready to go whenever his four games are done.
It's Nick Harris from the Star Telegram here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, you know, kind of back to my previous question about winning next year, I look at the last two drafts and I wonder, you know, how much of a young talent this team can kind of say they have a foundation built on. You know, when you miss that many times in a row, when the Cowboys have done well in the Dak window, it was immediately after drafting Zeke. It was immediately after drafting Micah Parsons. And now I think the window has closed because of their results in the first two rounds the last 2 years.
Yeah, I see your point there for sure. But I think they've been able to use this 2022 draft class and really kind of extend that talent out. I mean, you look at the guys that they brought in that year, Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson. I mean, all these guys have been able to contribute at a high level. And I think whenever you saw the inability of the 2023 class to succeed, it eventually kind of balanced out. And then now we're starting to just see what this 2024 class can put forward. You know, I said it at the very beginning with Tyler Guyton. I was like, man, this is a guy with only 14 starts under his belt on the offensive line in his entire football career. There are going to be lumps and bruises all along. You know, even after that first really good practice he had back in Oxnard, it was still the kind of the message was still at that point, hey, we're going to take our highs, we're going to take our lows, but we're going to stay right in the middle with this guy. And I think that's what they're continuing to do. I think right now we're just starting to see a low, but I'm sticking to my draft evaluation of the guy and saying that I think after maybe a year or two, we probably won't look up and see him as one of the better tackle options from that draft class. But I think if we look up in 4 years, I think he'll be getting that fifth-year option, and he'll be one of the safer first-round picks that we look back on. But you look at Marshawn Nealand, he just needs to get back from injury. I think the jury is still out, or the verdict is still out on this 2024 class. Maybe Brandon Aubrey can help us come to a verdict.
Maybe he can.
Love it.
High school football, we had a crazy ending in Frisco last night. Of course, Kyle Yeoman's on the call. We'll get to, I think we'll hear some of that audio a little bit later. But what do you think about tonight's landscape in the Texas high school football world?
Yeah, I'm really excited about a few games tonight. Prosper and Allen, I think that'll be a fun one. Allen has kind of gotten back on the right track this season, undefeated here approaching November for what it feels like the first time in a couple of years, which is wild to say about Allen. But Prosper will probably be the best challenge that they get here this in the district play. And that's a really tough district. I mean, they have the McKinney schools in that area. Princeton has made the jump up to a 6A this past season. So there's a lot of different things that are kind of going into that. Louisville and Hebron having Patrick Creighton's son at quarterback, which has been a fun story to kind of track over the course of the year. And then Lovejoy and Walnut Grove, one of the newer schools here in DFW, going up against Todd Dodge and the powerhouse that is Lovejoy. So that'll be a fun one too.
Thank you so much, Nick. Enjoy your football weekend. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Yeah, y'all have a great one, fellas. See ya.
There he goes. Nick Harris, Star Telegram with you here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Eric's Chicken Wing Eating Challenge is now just minutes away, right?
Yes, we're going to do it. Yes, I'm starving. I'm ready.
Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20 coming up next. What's the subject matter, bud?
Well, it's National Greasy Food Day. And if you're about to crush some chicken wings, perfect. Why not do the Top 10 Greasy Foods? What's your favorite greasy food? That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live. Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. Seen so many Tolos. Once again, second day in a row of fellowship in here. So the G-Bag Nation's been on the road. Segment here of the nation. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Chiefs about to start his wing challenge, see if he can beat his record of 15 wings in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And while he does that, we'll be entertained by Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. I'm prepping the clock, baby. Here we go. My poor friend over here, Eric Schiaffal, has been waiting a damn near an hour. We got chili, frigid, cold, Buffalo Wild Wings, but they look delicious. You got the ranch. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. And he's going to try and take down 20 delicious Buffalo Wild Wings as we party with you here in Grand Prairie. Come on out. We don't have any more flags to give away, but you can still see us, and we would love to see you. And the 817 just texted in. I just want you all to know that y'all helped carry me through some of the darkest and toughest days of my life, and I will forever tolo and be thankful. And it's the texts like that that really give me more reason to do what we're doing. We love you. We're here for you. And you know what? Seeing some Tolos out here also just is another reason why it's like, man, the impact that we're able to make on other people's lives. You make that impact on us. It's amazing to hear. It's kind of a gift to be able to get that back and be able to know, hey, what we're doing is actually good, and it's helping people.
It's what Flagtober is all about, man.
Damn right. Giving back.
Met another freshly released Tolo earlier today here at B-Dubs.
Yeah.
You know, you can see in his eye how much he appreciated how we got him through those days there.
And yesterday, Eric's buddy that he saw at Lowe's, that he didn't end up getting a flag, too, because they had just ran out. He came back out, got a flag yesterday, so it was fun to see him, talk to him. Keep those letters from prison rolling. I don't think we've gotten some lately, but I wouldn't mind getting some letters from prison.
Yeah, keep us updated.
All right, top 10 greasy foods. In honor of Greasy Foods Day, and we're at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I do think maybe the most delicious greasy food, or definitely on the short list, is indeed the chicken wings. Now, Eric's got a unique, he's really going after this. Now, we're a minute and a half in. So we're halfway. I don't think the pace is quite as strong, actually, as it was last time.
Observation, these wings are much bigger.
They are bigger wings.
They're cold.
And they're,
they're
cold.
And they're
it cold.
Makes it harder.
So it's harder.
Makes it harder to pull them apart,
cold
maybe.
Wings, so it's hard. Yeah, yeah. They're not hot and able to just shred really quickly. So.
He is a machine, though. Look at that technique. He just shoved the whole wing in there and spun it like a gator would death roll you. He death rolled that freaking wing, dude.
Yeah, the flat technique that he's working here is really, really outstanding. I'm very, very impressed. I don't think he's going to be able. He might not hit the 15.
No, he's putting on a show. It's for the love of the game right now.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Now we've got under a minute left, and I mean, I do think you're starting to see some rapid pace here with the flats.
The ranch is helping, I think.
He went all flats.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's trying to just shred this thing right now. But 877-881-1053, your favorite greasy food. I think number one for me outside chicken wings is probably pizza.
Oh, pizza. How could you beat pizza? I was wondering if I could get a clarification. Do donuts count as grease? They're cooked in grease.
Yes,
they're cooked in grease.
I would say donuts best greasy food or the cronut.
Okay, do you like the cronut better than the donut? Because you're like the, you do. They're better. It's a superior donut.
Yeah, I mean, what you're looking for in a perfect donut is the flakiness, the moistness of the dough and... Uh-huh. I just think the croissant turned into a donut can capture that in a much more dense way without giving up.
All right, final 10 seconds here. Eric is going for, I mean, he's getting close to the 15 mark. We got 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. And
beautiful work, sir. Beautiful work.
It's over. Okay, I'll let you finish that last one. How many we got left?
13.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so 13. But I will say, I think you got bleeped. I think you're right on having to wait an hour or so with those there.
Man, I'm so disappointed because I didn't consider the fact that once it's not as hot, it doesn't just slide off the bone.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I didn't even think of that either. That's a good point.
That it re-congealed.
Yes, it did. It did.
But
so,
still delicious.
You know, unforeseen
and 13,
challenges.
Hey, 13 in 3 minutes. So,
I guess you're just going to have to try again.
Yeah. You know what? If you're going to twist my arm about it, damn it, I'll do it in an hour.
Fried chicken is an easy number one pick. Whataburger number two from the 972 getting texted in. You think the burger?
Well, I tell you, I think to me, like a flat top burger would be like, you know, especially if it's the content is like 73-27 with fat.
There you go.
Nice and fatty. Let me throw another one out too. Enchiladas.
Mm. Ooh, okay.
Give me some greasy cheese onion enchiladas.
You made some good ones the other day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think those are two of the better greasier things you can eat.
214 says the Fletcher's Corny Dog. Shout out to the State Fair.
There you go.
Of course, Jack in the Box Tacos.
There you go. That's another one.
Jack in the Box Tacos is definitely up there when it comes to greasy foods. Like, you could see the grease.
You could see it through the
tacos.
Bag. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh,
that
bag,
you could just see, and you know they're good when that grease is going through there. Yeah.
559.
Spicy Tiny. Bring them back.
Said Eric was like Dak. He was set up for failure there.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'd say that.
That's fair.
I'd say that again.
I never felt more like Dak in a moment.
I would feel a little offended comparing your food eating talent to Dak's quarterback talent, though. I think you're in a league of your own.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll drink to that.
Mm. Drink to that. Fried chicken, pizza, and wings. Onion rings from the 817.
Oh, good call.
Hey, you know who actually does have some fantastic onion rings? And Lucius probably can attest to this.
BK?
BK does, but Buffalo Wild Wings, their onion rings here are actually very, very good.
B-dubs.
B-dubs has some good onion rings. Do you know, like, as an onion ring connoisseur yourself, Lucius, where is the best onion ring?
Yeah, I don't know where the best onion ring is, but I'll tell you, Sonic's got some pretty good ones.
Sonic does.
They don't let you down.
No, and the sweetness to that batter, that right there is something that sets them apart.
Because sometimes they can be too big and chunky, and you eat like a half an onion.
Yeah, it slips right through there. The fry. Fried fish, being Texan from the 469. Fried jalapenos. I don't think the Taco Bell tacos are actually tofu. Is that true?
Which one?
The Taco Bell tacos. Are they really tofu? There's no way.
I don't think they are.
I don't know what meat that is.
Yeah. I've only voluntarily eaten tofu one time. It was the tiniest bite ever, and it was awful.
Yeah, I'm not a big tofu guy either. Bacon pork belly from the 817 is the best greasy food.
There you go.
Hot fresh McDonald's French fries.
Mm.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's tough to beat that.
Five Guys fries, fajitas. Culver's has the best burger. I can't fight you on that. Had Culver's once. It was outstanding. Here's the list. Honorable mentions, we've got egg rolls.
Mm.
Boy, we had some great egg rolls yesterday.
They were good.
At Richardson Barn Grill.
Richardson Barn Grill is no joke. That menu is the real deal. The marinara sauce on the meatball.
The meatballs.
And that I was dipping with the mozz stick.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, I'm serious about that. Plus the chili.
I was dipping with the garlic bread.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Very impressive.
Nachos. Also on here.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good call there.
Nachos. Yeah. And you can get nachos here at Buffalo Wild Wings as well. Number 10 is the onion ring. Number 10, the onion ring is the best greasy food.
Mm.
Nine.
What do you dip in your onion ring in?
Ranch.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
You go ketchup?
Yeah.
Ketchup, yes.
I'll go fries
after I take the onions out.
Yeah.
That's why you like the Burger King one.
So what do you dip in your batter in there, Dawson?
Ketchup. Or some sriracha, maybe?
Sriracha is really good.
Sriracha would be a good play. Yeah. Nine is mac and cheese. And they say, when you think of greasy foods, mac and cheese might not come to mind. But if you've ever had it baked from the oven, then you know it is a handful of grease.
The real deal.
You get the grease from the cheese melting. Yes. That's
the greasy, cheesy goodness.
Yeah, that's what the cheese
is. And the butter. And the butter. You're cooking in the oven?
Yeah. Eight is cheese sticks, mozzarella sticks.
How were those yesterday? I noticed them.
Absolutely fantastic.
Were they really?
Yes.
Did they rival?
It looked like they had some size to them.
The ballpark?
Yeah, good size. Girthy. Absolutely good size. The marinara sauce was 10 out of 10. I'm not gonna give it the
sneaky good bar food at that place, huh?
There. Yeah, really, sneaky really good delicious. Food.
No, that's what the menu was
the chili. The chili. I would go back there if it was like 30-something degrees because, you know, in that – You're gonna be warmed up in that place because they don't have air conditioning.
Well, it was broken.
But with a menu like that, you don't need air conditioning.
They got it fixed.
But I'm saying though, it was a great place. But I would go back and have the chili.
Yeah,
it was really good.
The chili
was
delicious. Chili
was good.
Seven is fried fish, which got texted in quite a bit.
Fish and chips. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hey, they have that there too.
Fried catfish. Yeah.
Yeah. Six is pizza. I'm surprised pizza's not higher on this.
Six, huh?
At six. I mean, I feel like pizza is number one when you think of greasy foods.
I mean, I think of burgers and french fries. I really do.
Okay, well, then you're going to like where the top of this is. But, I mean, what do you think of people, and maybe you are that person, that'll take, like, a napkin and kind of dry the pizza grease off of the top?
No, I'm not doing it.
I'd like to put you on a rocket and ship you right to the
strange.
Moon.
Yeah, I do too.
Shoot you into the sun.
Like, don't order the pizza then if you want to just dry up the
sometimes
grease.
It does pool on the pepperoni pieces. Yeah.
Just let it drip off. You know, let gravity take its course.
Or just take a little.
Don't disrespect. Would you ever disrespect somebody's cooking by putting paper on top of it?
Chief.
You're right.
Like, let me pat down the flavor and the sweat off your food.
Way to go. You know, Dawson was going
to
come.
Gavin wants to eat clean.
Dawson was going to come with some reasoning. He was going to go, well, you know, you got to. And then you just hammered him right off the jump.
Yeah.
And he went, whoa.
How disrespectful
is that?
Yeah.
He slid over in our booth here a little bit.
Yeah. Oh. Dawson's like, when the grease gets into the pepperoni cup, it makes it even better. But Dawson was trying to go against that.
Grease shots out of a pepperoni cup that you eat afterwards?
You hammered Dawson right off the jump. I like what you did.
I used to be the onion guy at Sonic's. It's the 601. Had to come in early in the morning and make tons of them before opening. Damn, they got a designated onion guy.
That's why Sonic. Lucius said they were good.
That's when
he's
you know
right.
You're selling a crap ton of them.
Yeah. Well, and they're not just making anybody that guy. Like, kudos to him. That dude was grinding probably for a while to earn
your
that talent.
Probably on his way to being the manager of the Sonic. If you're the onion ring guy,
you're
a reliable dude.
A step away, two max.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Gas station tacos and burritos.
Ooh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, the holy mac and cheese at Pluckers. That's a good one, absolutely.
Can we all just talk about what's the last thing we had hot and ready from a gas station? Because it was actually chicken wings for me.
From which
7-Eleven?
I think it was breakfast tacos.
It was probably pizza, racetrack.
Oh,
QT,
dude, I love
like
the racetrack.
Yeah.
I heard
racetrack. Did they have some napkins for you?
Eye test, smell test?
Yeah.
Unbelievable with the racetrack pizza.
Yeah.
I think it might be a taquito.
Taquito for you?
Yeah, maybe.
You're acting like you had one.
Well, come on.
It was probably at least two taquitos. Probably.
Yeah, it was.
You don't go.
I could have
taquito.
Four by the time they hand me back my card.
Yeah, they're easy to eat.
I'm always eating in the line before I've totally bought
they
it.
They hand you that bag. You're literally reaching in and unwrapping it as they're getting your receipt.
I'm like, wow, I hope my card works because I've eaten half of this already.
Yeah.
Top five greasy foods on National Greasy Food Day. Five is fried chicken. Mm. Four is steak. When you get a fatty
there
cut of steak,
we go.
You can rest assured there's going to be a lot of grease.
That's a game changer right there. I'm looking for brisket at number one then, now that I know that.
Ooh. Three is burgers.
Yeah, dude.
That's way too low.
Shout out to the B-Dubs burger. Are you kidding me? Look at the burger on menu and tell me anything other than
sometimes
I want
sometimes you get fooled by the picture, not here.
Not here.
Big. It's actual.
That's a big-ass burger.
Yeah, it's actual.
Number two, we've got bacon.
Mm-mm.
Hey, Dawson, have you used your rack yet that I gave you?
Oh, yeah.
Does it work for
Brilliantly.
You?
Brilliantly.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Little rack talk?
Well, yeah, I got him a rack for his bacon because he cooks it in a cookie sheet. And so I got him a rack so he cooked both sides of it to get a little heat on all of it.
You know what I love about it now? I don't have to take the bacon off and then pat it down with paper towel.
There you go. There you go.
That's a good pro move right there. But number
one. Your HOA should find you for doing that in their neighborhood.
Him and this paper towel wiped down grease bit has got to go.
Gosh.
Yeah, dude.
It's got to go. Number one, though, best greasy food is the French fry, according to the U.S. of A. You don't think so?
No. Do you really like the really overly greasy French fry?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I like them all. I like the soft one. I like the gooey one. I like the mid one. I like the overly well done one.
He'll even eat the damn In-N-Out fries.
I do, man. Yeah.
Even the steak fries?
Yeah.
The big old ones with all the potato in the middle?
I kind of there you go. I kind of like the cottage fry. The round one,
like a waffle style kind of?
The Silver Dollar kind of looking. They're called cottage fries.
Puffy.
Where the hell do you get those?
You make them yourself.
Yeah, right? That's like
because you care about French fries.
Frozen
You don't trust anybody else.
I'm just going to make them myself.
I love French fries, basically of any kind.
That's good.
Well, I could eat French fries every meal if I could.
French fries are delicious. Yeah.
Hey, with something else.
That's what I love about Whataburger. You can get a breakfast French fry and they're not batting an eye at you.
No.
Like, sir, it's 8 in the morning. They don't care.
Have your fries.
I'm not asking Dawson this question. Does anybody like the fried pie? The fried pie. Like
the lemon pie.
Give me the lemon pie. With the fry.
McDonald's has some good ones of those, too. They actually do the cookies and cream.
Oh, that lemon pie?
Yeah.
That lemon pie.
Oh, yeah. Whataburger.
And there's your top 10 greasy foods.
Right on, dude. We got Chad Brown. He's going to preview LSU and A&M. He's coming up at 5 o'clock. The former NFL linebacker is going to join you, talk college football. Chad Brown coming up at 5. What you drinking, what you thinking at 5:20. We're live Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. Chief's going to pack in an NFL news of the day for you when we get back, buddy. What's in store?
Yes, I'm definitely going to do that. We got good stuff in store, including the Texas High School Football Play of the Year.
Sweet. Thank you very much, Lucius. Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker, now does analysis work for Compass Media. He's going to be on the call on radio tomorrow for LSU A&M. I think that's 6:30 in College Station tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll talk to him about, you know, maybe his memories playing for the Steelers against the Cowboys in Super Bowl 30 and several other things. So we look forward to that coming up here at the top of the hour.
I have an interesting question for him because I remember when he was a player at Colorado scouting him.
Yeah.
He's really into reptiles.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the things when you were like talking about, hey, what's this guy's background and all that? Like, I think he had a bunch of snakes.
Ooh.
When he was, I'm going to ask him if I'm like, I think I got this right. I think I got the right Chad Brown about this. This could be a disaster.
I hope, like, I mean, either way, this is going to work out. If he's a reptile guy, this is going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
When he can, like, bro, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But
you remember Chad the Snakes. Remember all the snakes. Don't sit here.
When he was in Colorado, I could look this up, but I might not just to take a chance.
Yeah, take the chance.
You think I should just take the chance?
Please do. Because I think you're going to end up being right, but just in case, I think it'd be great if you were wrong.
But I think when he was in Colorado in his dorm, he had a bunch, or his room, he had a bunch of snakes. Ooh. And it still might be a passion of his. I don't know. But we're going to find out here at 5 o'clock.
It's like Dawson in the fish tanks, man.
That's right. Yeah. I was just reading a story of a Burmese python eating a 77-pound deer.
Oh, dear.
Incredible
Lord.
Pictures
a deer?
Of it. I can post it for years, Chief, with an addition of football's finest. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing a little wildlife's finest here and get a little video action on that.
Oh my gosh. That is disgusting.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy how they the jaw, they just open it up.
How can it open? Is it just like infinite? Like, could you put anything in front of that snake and it'll find a way? Like he doesn't even know just how big his mouth can get until something that big shows up, and then he's like, watch what I can do.
Just keep on stretching.
Pause.
Talking about big backing it.
That's an amazing story.
That's big.
Almost as amazing as the fun fact that we got last night via Thursday Night Football when Walchuk was doing the no pants dance at about 10 o'clock.
Woo-hoo!
Because the Vikings of Minnesota took that L to his favorite quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and the Rams. And now it'll be Dawson and Broadus doing some level of bet payoff.
I think I'm off next Friday, by the way. I think I might have to do this on Thursday.
We've got a Wednesday remote at Whataburger, I believe, back here in Grand Prairie on Wednesday. So, if you want to do something live in public.
Might have to.
Sounds like destiny.
Did you guys see
the graphic they put up for our buddy Al Michaels?
No, was it a no veggie graphic?
Al Michaels' career at Toscana, which is the steakhouse.
Oh.
Is that
they put
LA?
Up they put up his Toscana box score, which is apparently
awesome.
The spot that he likes to go and have
his
red meat.
How many steaks he's had?
Yes. So it says total trips 4,121. It says steaks ordered 3,672, and veggies consumed is zero.
Zero.
That's his box score at, I guess,
so
his
funny.
Hall
favorite.
Of Fame
career.
Yeah, dude, what a run.
Real quick, we had him on. You asked him his favorite side.
Yeah, and he said French fries.
Well, he said, could you name?
He said potatoes.
What are your
like
potatoes?
A load of
favorite sides? But, he couldn't
but,
name three.
But that's
he
what I'm saying.
Three.
Did you know that he was going to just struggle bust that question?
Not at all. I was trying to think of, okay, we've already done the veggie thing, so it was like, how can we go
if
next?
If he hates
like, what,
veggie,
what
he's
do you
not
going to
come up with a side.
What do you pair your steak with?
He's
you
not
going to
come up with a side.
Well, it looks like there was a nice pasta dish, on the plate from last night, and I love seeing the red wine there as well, which I believe he helped himself to. Throughout the course of his halftime steak and pasta.
So he's going to say, I mean, would you consider, I don't know, that's, I would not consider going to a steak place and having pasta as a side.
Yeah, I mean, I guess each
I
place.
I thought you were trying to draw him off
side. Well, I was not trying to draw. Everybody knows you're going to have a side with your steak.
But,
and if you're not doing any veggies, like, what is your go-to
but
side?
But he answered your question. He was like, well, dumbass.
He was like, I don't eat vegetables.
Yeah.
Twice baked potato, maybe another twice baked potato.
He big timed me a little bit.
He did.
It's
did
all right. I still love him. I still love him.
I think you deserved it.
Okay, so Vikings, we have a couple of things to address here. First of which, Andrew Van Ginkle. That's not a made-up name.
No, he's a rush-in.
Good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a former.
Dolphins.
He was a Dolphin. Free agent. Dolphins say thanks, but no thanks. He's now a Viking. He reunites with Brian Flores, who had him in Miami a few years ago. And now Andrew Van Ginkle.
Sacker interception machine guy.
Now has more touchdowns
than
any player on the Dolphins this season.
Yeah.
Andrew Van Ginkle, who's a pass rusher for the Vikings, who the Dolphins said thanks but no thanks on, has scored more touchdowns than any player the Dolphins currently have. They have Tyreek Hill. Okay, so that's interesting. The second one, Vikings and with Christian Darrisaw being out, their stud offensive tackle, he goes down. And when you look at the difference, when you talk about this is like the
Quisenberry was not good.
No.
And this is the kind of the Jared Goff thing with Sam Darnold, even though Jared Goff has put those to bed when it comes to not being good under pressure. He's been a great pressure quarterback this year. Sam Darnold, on the other hand, he has some of the biggest splits in all of football in terms of when he's kept clean in the pocket compared to when he is pressured. He goes from one of the best in the NFL this season when kept clean, and then when pressured, I mean, you're talking about a 50% completion percentage. So it's about as bad as it gets in terms of splits between clean pocket and pressured pocket for Sam Darnold, and now he's going to be without his stud left tackle. So that's going to be a difficult thing for the Vikings to overcome here. They're done?
Yeah, I think so. I think
the Packers are about to
start. Are they on their way to be the Saints?
Unseating them.
Yeah, I think they're going to be battling maybe for that seventh wild card spot.
They're last year's Eagles.
Yeah, I think they're about to fall apart.
Fragile. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it is interesting when you look at their what the rankings are offensively for the Vikings when, like, in their first 15 plays, they're first or at worst eighth in a particular category: yards per play, points scored, pass yards. They're first in all those categories, eighth in rush yards, second in first downs. Their first 15 plays are fantastic. And then after that, they go bottom third in the league in all those categories.
Wow.
Gosh.
How crazy is that?
That's nuts.
It's like O'Connell's got a great first punch, and then after that, they can't call a play. Yeah.
Script 70 plays.
Is this, I mean,
the game scripted.
What a disrespect. This is the NFL looking at Munich and just slapping the entire population.
Carolina, the Giants?
Yes.
Yeah, this is bad.
And some are calling it the worst lineup in sports history when you consider the fact that Machine Gun Kelly is the halftime performance.
Oh.
So that's a weird one for me, man.
Maybe he's big in Germany.
Perhaps he is. Or they tried to find the equivalent of Carolina Panthers and Giants football to be their performing artist there at halftime. Like, what would be on the same playing field? And I guess MGK is who they came up with, but that is pretty bad for Munich. And Munich's still going to show up in droves.
They will. They'll cheer.
They'll have brats and everything. All right,
they got good football fans here because of the military bases and stuff like that.
And they got Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, they got the schnitzels, and that's really what's getting it done. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the Ford Center. How about that? The Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We have ourselves a
best bathrooms at a place where you need to go to the bathroom.
How bad are you feeling if you're that coach today that still ran that play? Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Or you feel worse as the kid. I imagine neither one feels great.
Nobody feels good right now. This is as crazy a finish to a football game as you'll ever see. Frisco Wakeland versus Frisco Lone Star. And it is overtime, and it is a third down inside the 10-yard line. You're looking to win the game. Take it away.
Perfect season alive for Lone Star.
Oh, my goodness.
Lone Star's perfect season on the line. They have the ball ready to score in overtime versus their crosstown rival, and then it's a 99-yard fumble return. Kyle Yeomans on the call. Take it away.
Trying to put it on ice. Hoyt will push to the 5, keeps the pile rolling, keeps on rocking. The ball popped out. Wakeland's got the football. They've got a return at the 30 with blockers up in front. Austin Wilson. He's going to take it all the way back. The Wakeland miracle inside Ford Center. The craziest play you will ever see. Wakeland was dead to rights, and they win it in overtime. 65-59 the final for Frisco.
How about that, dude?
Amazing.
And mayhem ensues right there. Walk off 99-yard.
From like a defensive end, right? Best athlete on the team.
I mean, number 92. I'm thinking, this was a full James Harrison moment.
It was a full James Harrison
in the Super Bowl versus Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald moment.
Walk it off.
At the Ford Center last night. Texas high school football strikes again.
No matter how good your Football Friday is going, it's not as good as big 92 for Wakeland today.
Nope.
He's on top of the world.
Cleaning up.
One of the greatest days of his life.
The world.
All righty, thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest in the books once again, usually at 5 o'clock, but we have a special football guest set to join us, a guy that played against the Cowboys in Super Bowl 30. He was on the Steelers. He also played college football at Colorado. Maybe we can talk to him about primetime. But he is on the call with Compass Media tomorrow for LSU at A&M. And Chad Brown, former Steeler, former Seahawk, former Patriot as well, joins us next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.